good stuff that I want to talk about this morning. And as I was sitting here this morning thinking about this, I decided some of this is probably going to slop over into next week. So nothing new there. No news there. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We got our definition of faith. We talked about the definition a couple weeks ago. We talked about where faith comes from last week and getting us into that. And he says, "For by it the elders obtained an excellent testimony." And he goes into this long section. We call this the honor roll of faith, or the heroes of the faith, in this chapter 11 here. And the writer goes and he gives us a whole bunch of examples of people out of Scripture and out of history, and how they were faithful to God, how their faith stood up. And it's easy to kind of read through it and think of it just as a little bit of a historical or biographical section. He's just kind of giving us a little bit of what went on in the past and things, whatever. And not notice that this is a very pointed passage. He's making some really important points to his readers. He wants them to understand that there are examples, that their faith that he's calling on them to stand on is not something that is brand new. It's not something that they're just, oh, we've never seen anything like this before, and they're scared and they're timid. We talked about persecution in Sunday school, okay? Persecution is what these people were facing, and they needed to have that encouragement. They needed to know that they could look back and they could have confidence because God has been faithful, and he's calling on them to be faithful, and he's demonstrated his faithfulness to them. And he actually begins this honor roll. He's not talking about a person. He actually begins, he says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." And that's a really profound place to begin, because he takes us clear back to Genesis 1:1. Now, there's a verse that's very easy to find. And he takes us right back to that. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The first adult Sunday school class that I ever taught, I taught my way through Genesis. I'm surprised. I got through it in 6 months, and some of you won't believe that. But I spent 3 weeks on this first verse. There is so much implied in that. In the beginning, God created. When we think about the fact that it's by faith that we understand that, we have in the Word the statement that God created. But faith is what allows us to take that and flesh it out, to look at the world around us and see that this is the hand of God that has made these things, that the world came into being not out of stuff that was seen, not out of other material. God didn't just gather up a bunch of stuff and make the world. The world came into being because of the power of God, because he spoke it. His will, his desire brought it all into existence. He didn't make the world out of anything. He created the anything that he made the world out of. And that's a tremendously profound thing, because it tells us that God is beyond anything that we can see or sense or even really comprehend in our human capacity. He is greater than all of those things. And so when we think, by faith, we understand that the worlds were formed. We believe God made it. God made it. And it was by his word, by his deliberate act of expressed will, that everything it came into being. And the faith that allows us to understand that faith gives us that foundation in terms of what we believe about God that we need as we go forward. One of the biggest things we have to recognize as we think about who God is, what God has done, is we've got to recognize His immensity, His majesty, His power, His infiniteness. That's probably not the way that word should have gone. I know. There's a that His character and His being is so far beyond anything that we can imagine. And we've got to get that into our mind, that we're not worshiping a God who has limits. We're not worshiping a God who can only do so much. He can do anything. He can do everything. And so when He created the world and He established this, and He created man, and He put man on the world, that didn't go quite exactly as planned. But man came onto the scene, and the first one that we have in the list here, the first person that we have in the list, is Abel. And Abel is Adam and Eve's son, and we really don't get lots and lots of detail about him back here in Genesis, where he shows up. He's born in chapter 4 of Genesis. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, "I have acquired a man from the Lord." Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but He did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Now, the writer of Hebrews says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. I want you to think about something here with regard to Abel's gift and the distinction that is made. There's some very subtle things that between what we have here in Hebrews, which kind of enlightens us with what was recorded in Genesis. This is the thing that struck me. Genesis 4:4. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Not just the sacrifice. Not just the sacrifice. Now, I've heard this talked about a lot of times, that the sacrifice of Abel is acceptable because it's a blood sacrifice, and so therefore that's acceptable, and that's why God accepts Abel and doesn't accept Cain and everything. Scripture says the Lord respected Abel and his sacrifice. So there's something about Abel himself that God respected, that Abel himself was acceptable in the eyes of God, that he is approved of. He's done something right. And if we go on into verse 7, Genesis 4:7, God tells Cain, when Cain is angry, if you do well, will you not be accepted? So we can go backwards and look. Abel did well. He did well in God's eyes. And so he is accepted, not because he brought the right sacrifice, but because he did well. Then if we jump back to Hebrews, we do get to go back and forth a little bit here. He says that Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. It says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. What was it that defined Abel's acceptability before God. It was his faith. It was his looking at God and believing in God and understanding who God was. And so Abel was able to be considered righteous in God's eyes. He was acceptable before God because of his faith in God. We talk about the new covenant in Jesus Christ, and sometimes people get caught up in the idea that in Jesus Christ we are saved by faith, and in the Old Testament they were saved by the law. In the Old Testament, they were saved by faith in God, just as we are. Faith has always been God's stick that he measures by. And so Abel had faith, and his faith made his sacrifice acceptable, and his acceptable sacrifice allowed him to be approved of by God, even though he wasn't approved of by his brother, and there were problems with his brother. Now, still in Genesis, in chapter 5 now, we get to Enoch. Now, Enoch is the sixth generation. It says in Jude talks about him as the seventh from Adam, but he counts Adam in those seven. So Enoch is the sixth generation, and in 5:18 we get, Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now that's all we know from Genesis about Enoch. But just like with Abel, this is loaded with some implications that, again, the writer of Hebrews takes and he picks up on. And the key here, back in Hebrews 11, says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Now, that he pleased God, what it says, you know, the literal in Genesis, that he walked with God. And to walk with God implies a relationship that he walked with, he was in communion with. They were connected to one another. They had this fellowship and this relationship. And so Enoch is close to God, and God allows him to be close because he is pleasing to him. And so the idea that Enoch is pleasing God, as he says here in Hebrews, he then expands on that with this really critical piece. He says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So if Enoch pleased God, and I'm pretty sure since there weren't very many people that God took without allowing them to die, that was a pretty rare kind of occurrence throughout Scripture, he must have pleased God. So if Enoch pleased God, he pleased God because he had faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because he who comes to God must believe that he is. Now, I hit that as I was reading through this several months ago. We've been in this section of Hebrews for a long time. I was reading through this, and it hit me, must believe that he is. Think about that. The very first fundamental, foundational thing, if we want to have any kind of relationship with God, is we got to believe that God is, that he exists. You simply have to start with acknowledging the reality of God. He exists. He is. And once we recognize that he is, then he says, we please God when we recognize that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, this is a real concise way of looking at our relationship with God. We believe that he is, and everything that implies, all of those superlatives and great big explanation words about being omni-everything that God is. We believe all of that. He is. He is all of that. And we also believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. We believe that if we diligently seek God, He will grant us a reward. That's one of the promises that we have throughout Scripture, is that those who diligently seek Him, He will give us salvation. He will give us everlasting life. He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. And by faith, we believe that He will reward us. How do we please God? We recognize who He is, His character, His being, and we recognize what He does. Now think about one of the big things that God has done is He sent Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross for our sins that we could be forgiven. And Christ says that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God is a rewarder of those who believe on Him. As we look at this list of the faithful, this faith that they have, this faith that the Hebrews are being called back to, this faith that we are encouraged to carry with us and have every single day, is a faith that God is a rewarder. That His promise of reward, His promise of salvation, His promise of everlasting life is good. Our faith that He will do what He has promised. And when we have that faith, we please God. And if we please God, I can't think of any greater thing to have said about us when we stand before the Lord for judgment than that we pleased Him. Whatever failure we might have in this world, if we have pleased God, there is nothing greater we could have done. Faith that He is, and He is a rewarder, that pleases God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we think about the tremendous faith that is talked about in these different men, and I think of Enoch, who for 300 years walked with You on this earth, and he pleased You, and You rewarded him. And I thank You, Lord, that we know that as You rewarded him, You will reward us for our faith. And I pray that You will strengthen our faith. Keep us close to You, Lord, because we believe, but sometimes we're just so weak as humans. Keep our faith strong, Lord, that we know that You are, and You are that reward. In the name of Jesus, amen.